Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. Good to be in God's house this morning. Hope you brought your Bible. Hope you read your Bible, memorize your Bible, believe the Bible. I'd sing that song that Brother Wilson sings, but I can't sing. I want to learn how to do that vibrato that that little girl did and work that into my preaching. Amen. I think might be interesting anyway. All right, Matthew chapter 14. Try to let that crowd get on out. Somebody close them doors back there, would you? Not everybody at once, just somebody. All right, appreciate it. Matthew chapter 14. Let's start reading in verse number 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men that of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Lord, we do thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for the scripture. Lord, I do know, God, that we can take the scripture and read it as it is and believe it as it is. And Lord, I know also we can get many lessons from it. And I pray, God, you'd help us to learn a lesson here this morning. I pray you'd get glory and honor to your own name. I pray that you'd help me to preach. I pray that you'd help these to hear. Lord, you commanded your disciples to be careful how they hear. And I pray that you'd help us, God, to be very careful how we hear the preaching of the word. I pray you'd help us to hear it in faith. I pray that you'd help us to hear it in belief. I pray, oh God, that you would help us, God, this morning. Lead us, guide us, inspire us, God. Heal us, wash us, and cleanse us. Lord, so many needs we have here this morning, and I pray that you'd meet each and every need. God, I believe with all my heart, God, that you can deal with each heart, each mind, each problem, each trial, each temptation. I believe you can do that this morning simply through the preaching of your word. Lord, you said that you chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I do believe you meant that in regards to salvation, but I also believe that you meant it, God, in our daily lives. Lord, I know there's many things as Christians that we need to be saved from. And I believe that same belief that allowed us to be saved is the same belief that'll save us from trial and temptation and hardship. And I pray, oh God, that you'd just manifest yourself to us. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd do something for us this morning. Help us, God, where we stand in great need. And Lord, I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you just a few minutes this morning about getting blown off course. Getting blown off course. That is a great danger in our lives. We get started, we got the best of intentions, and then we get blown off course. Amen? That's true. Whether you claim to love the Lord or whether you claim you don't even believe in the Lord, there are some people who claim that. I never really met one, though. Never really met a person that didn't believe in the Lord. People, you know, there's agnostics, people who claim they don't know. They sure talk a lot for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's some people that say they're atheists and they say they don't believe in the Lord. Well, why do you spend so much time talking about it then?
Yeah.
You know how much time I spend talking about Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
No, not very, very little. Because I don't believe in him.
Yeah.
Amen. I just don't believe in him. I don't care what the calendar says. If I don't believe in this or don't believe in that, I just don't spend too much time worrying about it because I don't believe in it.
Amen.
Amen? And that seems to be the thing. People always willing to profess things they don't believe in.
Amen.
I wish to goodness that people was as emphatic about things they do believe in as they are about things they don't believe in.
That.
Amen?
Yeah.
I've heard so many Christians preach against Halloween and Christmas trees,
yeah.
And they preach against Halloween and Christmas trees more than they preach in favor of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that fits you. I don't know if that fits your cousin and your brother. But hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm with you. I see where you're coming from. But let's get our priorities straight, amen? And let's talk about things we do believe in. Amen. Amen. I was kind of glad on Wednesday night when the pastor mentioned the social dilemma. And I wasn't able to find it. We got rid of Netflix because of I don't like pedophilia.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good reason as I can think of for canceling something. We don't have cable vision or nothing like that, but I do have YouTube, so I kind of watched a pirated version of it. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I was thankful that I had canceled my Facebook and all other of my social media things the week before.
Yeah.
I was like, thankful. Yes, sir.
Amen.
But, you know, I still say I don't believe that. There are such a thing as wicked devices. No question about that at all. But I think the bigger problem is the human heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I've heard it said, and it's a good point. I've heard it said by preachers, and I used to be this way myself, preach against Facebook and all kinds of other. I used to preach against PlayStation until I remembered them old men was playing checkers. What's the difference in playing checkers and Call of Duty? Amen. I just don't have to put Call of Duty away when I get done playing it. Amen. Just turn it off. I used to preach against Facebook, and really, I was sincere about it. But then I heard two other preachers talking about Facebook one time, and they said, well, this woman got on Facebook and met an old high school boyfriend and left her husband and broke up a home. And you know, Facebook, and it's not Facebook's fault. It's not. If a family being broke up is justification for getting rid of Facebook, then shutting the church should be justified by families getting broke up, because I've seen a man and another woman get together in church.
Yeah.
I grew up in a church with about 600 to 1,000 people in it, depending on what year we're talking about. And there was folks doing unthinkable things in one of the strictest churches on the planet. Listen, I'm promising you with all my heart, you've never been to a stricter church than White Plains Baptist Church. Never. You've never been there. That preacher tell you to flat shut your mouth. Hey, you two folks back there talking, shut your mouth. If you don't like it, you can leave. I mean, that's just the way things were around there. But in a strict church like that, there's ungodly people. Well, I can tell you their names. This one left that one and got with this one. Well, shut the church down. That makes the church wicked, right? No, it's you.
Amen.
It's you. You're the one. You know what you're going to find? I'm going to preach one of these days what I found on Facebook. You know what you find on Facebook? Same thing you find on YouTube. Same thing you find on the pornographic website. You find what you're looking for.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you don't have the discipline to turn your back and walk away, when things you don't want to see shows up, then you do need to turn it off.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yep.
And one thing I got tired of seeing on a daily basis was I got tired of hearing about every conspiracy theory under the sun. I found myself typing a post one day, and about halfway through it, I got, who cares? Like the prodigal son, I came to myself. I said, all I'm doing is stealing material from my Sunday service.
Yeah.
I can save this till Sunday.
Yeah.
So just turn it off. Brother Mike, does that mean I have to? You do what you want. You're a big boy. You don't suck your thumb no more. You can figure it out for yourself, can't you? You can pray. If you pray and find it wicked, turn it off.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But I do know this, whether it's Facebook or I know people that's been blown off course in church. I know people that's been blown off course at work. I know people that's been blown off course during their play. Amen?
Yep.
Recreation, hobby, whatever you want to call it. Grown people do like to play too.
Yep.
Amen. Matter of fact, some of you need to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. Amen.
Really?
Yep.
Absolutely. It do you good just to relax. I found myself at some point in my life walking around just worried about everything. Well, he shouldn't have said that, and she shouldn't have wore that, and he shouldn't have done it. Okay. I'm going to just build a fence around my own life and take care of me, amen? And then preach what God tells me to preach, because that's an added responsibility to life as a pastor, as a preacher. You got to meddle a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen. But listen, if you folks, you don't have a pastor, burdened with the care and concern of the flock as pastors are, you ought to relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because you get blown off course looking at somebody else's life. I'm getting ahead of myself. Of course, that wasn't in the message at all. But I know in this passage of Scripture here, he says Jesus constrains his disciples to get into his ship and go before him unto the other side. Anybody ever heard a reference to the other side? I'm talking about going home to heaven if you want to spiritualize it a little bit. And you know, the Bible tells us very plainly that when you was born, you was blowed off course. You was. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter number 14, it says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You say, yeah, woman. No, it's not talking about the woman. It's talking about you. Amen?
Amen.
You'd be surprised how a man can turn it around and make it the woman's fault.
Yeah.
I never do that to my wife. It's always my fault. I'm glad she ain't up here. She'd say, liar! My wife tells me I'm the very best on this planet about making things her fault.
Yeah.
Amen. If I can't find something, surely she picked it up and moved it. Amen. The engine light came on in the truck last week. I fixed it. And then put my little reader, what do you call it, scanner, put my scanner away. I put it right on the little cabinet thing in the kitchen where I knew it was going to stay forever. Engine light, different problem. Vehicle got a lot of miles. Different problem yesterday. The engine light came on, so I went right back to where I left it in the kitchen. And she looked at me. She saw the disgust. I was like, I laid it right here.
How about that?
She says, are you sure it's not on the shelf in the garage? I got a good memory. As soon as she got out of sight, I snuck down to the garage. And right there it was. On the shelf, right where she said it was, right where I put it. And if I think about it long enough, I will find a way to make that her fault. She spoke to me afterwards, made me forget where I put it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's funny how men have a way of turning things around to make it a woman's fault.
Yeah.
They read a scripture like, man that is born of woman is a few, see, it's the woman's fault.
Yeah.
If he could just find a way to get born, not of a woman, well, how are you going to explain Jesus?
Amen.
Listen, a woman is the only one that had anything to do with Jesus' birth. Now, not excluding the Holy Spirit, I'm just talking about humanly speaking. No man involved, I guess you women could say amen to that. No man involved, perfect man produced. That's free. Amen. You ladies can thank me later. Dollars, $5 bills, anything's acceptable. No, but at any rate, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You were born off course. I couldn't tell you how many folks in the mountains down there in North Carolina and Virginia, and I'm sure there's some right around here too. Matter of fact, I met one just the other day. I said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "I've always been saved." I said, "Oh, really? Virgin-born son of God you are." Listen, I'm not here to bash your religion. I'm not here to bash your beliefs. But when you were born in sin. If your religion has taught you that you were born saved because your mama was saved, or you were born saved because you're some elect or something like that, your religion is wrong, and I'm sorry about that, but you were born lost just like everybody was. Just like everybody was. I would constrain you this morning, as the Bible says, to get into the ship. To me, I think the ship is the church. Amen? And listen, there's no question in my mind about it. You may have some religious hang-ups. You might have some ideas about what's right and wrong. You might have some ideas about God, and you might have some preconceived notions about who God is or what God ought to be doing. But I can tell you this beyond reason. Listen, when I talk to somebody on the street and they say I'm a Mormon or I'm a Muslim or I'm a Catholic, I don't deal with that at all, because I don't care about any of that stuff. It doesn't offend me that they're Catholics any more than it offends me that they're drunks. I don't care. I do not care. I'm not going to spend 4 years learning the Muslim religion so I can, no sir, not going to do that. Hey, what about your sins? What about your sins? But I believe Muhammad is the prophet. But what about your sins? You say you believe the Bible in some capacity. That Bible says that you are born in sin. What you going to do about that? Well, we're Abraham's children. Abraham had a sacrifice. What's your sacrifice? Well, I'll sacrifice myself. You're not worth anything. Deal with people on the merit of their own soul. There's only one conclusion that a man can come to, is that you've been blown off course. Listen, you've been born in this world. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not. You're just not. And I hear religious speakers, I hear political speakers, and they speak as if everybody on the planet's born on the way to heaven, and everybody's good people. Everybody's basically good at heart. How many times have you ever heard that? We know, especially from a politician, we know that everybody is good, basically good at heart. No, you're a rascal. You're a scoundrel. And just join the club. That's all we're asking you to do. We're not putting you down and saying you're a rascal and we're wonderful. We're not saying that at all. It's that man, I'm a man. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And first of all, let me talk to you about that. Few days. Few days. Some of you might think you got 50 years left or 40 years left. I'll tell you a very sobering thing. My birthday's coming up this month. And the Bible says that a man, as we are today, I'm not talking about pre-Adamic flood. I'm certainly not talking, I didn't say that right. I'm not talking the pre-Noah flood. I'm certainly not talking about pre-Adamic flood. I'm talking about right here today. The Bible says that a man's going to live about 70 years. If he's real strong and don't get no accidents, he might live longer than that. But as I approach my 50th birthday, I realize, hey, if we got 70 years, that don't leave very many. I'm trying to find some kind of infusion that I can take so that I can get a few of those years back, get a little more energy, and try to focus on some of my wasted time. But that verse in Job chapter 14 says you're a few days. Well, I tell you what, I look at these little boys. I look at Roman and Reese and Jordan and some of these young men running around the church and see them playing out in the yard at their homes and stuff like that. And before you know it, them fellows will be driving cars and they'll be getting their first job and maybe going to college, God forbid. But they'll be doing something with their lives, and next thing you know, they'll have children. Next thing you know, I'll look at Reese and he'll have a scraggly beard with a few white hairs in it. I'm just hoping I live long enough to see that. Yep. Amen. If you're 50 and your kid's like 7, that's Ruth's fault. Amen. I don't think there's nothing wrong with laughing and having. We're talking about a serious subject.
Yes, sir.
But I'm tired of just being so serious about everything that you can't enjoy life. It's a serious matter. If you're born lost and you need to get saved, you need to get in the ship. Now, I'll tell you, the Christian life is a wonderful life.
Amen.
It has problems, it has troubles, it has trials, but it has joy. It has assurance. It has promise. It has hope for tomorrow. One of the we're talking about Colossians in Sunday school, for those of you who care to show up. We're talking about Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 has some great stuff, and it really does. Paul is basically in the opening passage of the Scripture. He's saying we're praying for you, and he says we're praying for you because we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And your love to all the saints. Lots of reasons to pray for them there. But one of those reasons, he says, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Once in a while, just instead of looking at your brother and sister in Christ, who probably has been blown off course in some capacity, I'm glad they're saved.
Yeah, amen.
That idiot right there better be glad he's saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know how many times I've tried to correct myself? Man, I'll tell you, trying to help other people get themselves corrected is a big deal, but I'm not sure that that's harder, really, than correcting yourself. When you add in, if I'm trying to correct so-and-so, you, whoever you are, if I'm trying to correct you, I don't have to deal with your pride. I mean, I can see right through your pride. I can see right through your justifications for yourself. I can see through all that. I don't have to deal with that. It's easy for me to help you. It's not easy for me to help me. Because
yeah.
I'm biased for me.
Yeah.
Amen? At some point in my life, I said, man, I can get discipline. I can get help. I can get revelation. God can help me. But as far as me correcting me, it just ain't possible. And I have to, in that case, Brother Tommy, I have to say to myself, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm in the ship.
Yep.
Amen. I'm not just saved by myself. Bryce is saved too. And April. And Joe. There's a lot of saved people in here.
Amen.
I'm not saved by myself. All of us. I mean, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, repenting of our sin, repenting of the fact that we are sinners. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that I smoked a cigarette. I've never smoked a cigarette. But just as an illustration, I'm not sorry I smoked a cigarette. I'm sorry that I'm a sinner and would defile my body that way. I'm talking about real repentance. I'm not talking about turning and going the other way. That's works. I'm talking about coming to the realization, I'm not worthy and I'm never going to be worthy. What can I do then? Get in the ship. Just get in the ship. Do you realize who was in the ship? Loudmouth Peter was in the ship. Amen.
Yep.
I just try to think about what it would be like if I was out in a boat and I saw somebody come walking by.
Ah. Yo, about that.
I'd be like, that's a very interesting. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd jump out and drown. Well, I can swim. If Brother Allen jumped out, he would drown.
Yeah.
Here comes a man walking on the water. Not Simon Peter. Hey, let me get out there.
Yeah.
That's Simon Peter's thinking.
Yeah.
Did you also realize that fellow that talked all the time? He said, "Lord, if it be you." Mm-hmm. Well, who else was it?
Yeah.
Yep. Who else was it?
Right.
If you only realize that the people who talk the loudest and the most have the most doubts and fears, that would be a great enlightenment to you. And it would cause some of you to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yep.
You just better be glad you're in the ship.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know who's here. I don't know who's not here as far as saved or lost. I don't know the standing of each and every one of your hearts, but I know this, if you're not saved, something can be done about it this morning. You get in the boat today. Get in the ship today.
Amen.
Then if at some time you want to jump out and walk on the water, help yourself. I think I'll just stay in the boat, though. I don't begrudge Simon Peter. That'd be a wonderful experience. Some of you might get to jump out and walk on the water in some capacity. I don't know exactly what that'll be, but I hope so. I hope so. Some of you get a relative that's sick beyond repair. I hope you can do some water walking. I hope you can perform miracles. I hope God performs miracles for you, I should say. But I'd just stay in the boat if I was you. As long as you can. As long as you can, I'd stay right in the boat. Amen? If I was saved and I am saved, and if I was part of a church and I am part of a church, if I was tempted and I am tempted like all men are, the best thing to do is stay in the boat.
Amen.
If I felt myself beginning to wonder, beginning to be blown off course after I'd already been in, hey, I know this for sure, young fellas. This is a better place than out there. This is far better in here than it is out there. Far safer in here. Amen. Because the Lord told them to get in the boat. Hey, they were in the right boat.
Amen.
The Lord told them to get in it.
Amen.
They were headed in the right direction. The Lord said, hey, get in this boat and go over yonder. They were doing what they were told.
Yeah.
But they still got blown off course. I don't know if you know anything about naval things, marine things. When I say marine, I mean things that have to do with the water. That's why Marines are called Marines. The United States Marines are a department of the Navy. So, in some capacity, you have to understand that when you get out there on the water, storms are going to come up. And I've never seen very many ships, especially the kind that we're talking about here in this passage, that got in a storm and didn't get blown off course. Now, you may have a powerful 9,000 horsepower diesel engine in these modern ships that have global positioning and they can stay on course, but that's not true in a case like we're talking about here. And let me say this. You don't have a 9,000 horsepower engine. You have one of these fleshly mechanisms. It's not global positioning or GPS or 9,000 horsepower engine. You've got the heart and mind of a man. And it's easily blown off course. That's the Bible. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily blow us off course. Beset us. Let us run the race with patience. Absolutely. You get blown off course. You can be in the right ship. That young man, Eutychus, in the book of Acts, he was in the right church. He was listening to the right preacher. These disciples were in the right boat.
Amen.
They were following the right Lord's commandment.
Amen.
But they still got out there and got blown off course. You know, if you could help storms coming up in your life, that'd be a wonderful thing. But you can't help it.
That's right.
You just can't help it. Absolutely not. Whether it be in your Christian life, whether it be in your physical life. And I recommend making your physical life and your Christian life go seamlessly together. Amen. There's nothing that'll keep a physical marriage together like a spiritual marriage.
That's right.
Amen. You get blown off course in your marriage.
Amen. Amen.
The worst words you ever want to hear as a married couple is, oops. Hey, I mean, I think I married the wrong person. Well, hey, you did it.
Yep.
And the Lord hates putting away. Well, you know, I we're really not compatible. You should have figured that out beforehand. Well, you know, I've fallen in love with somebody else. You're going to have to eat that. Yes. Yes. No excuses. Jesus said, except it be for fornication. He's not talking about yours. Amen. You can't deliberately sabotage your own marriage. You just can't do it. But marriages get blown off course. Amen. Preachers get blown off course. Amen. I've seen many a preacher that started off real good and they got hung up trying to correct a denomination that I don't even know whether or not they're correctable. I don't know. Don't know that for sure. You know what the Bible says? I know this is simple. You may think it's oversimplified, but I don't believe it's oversimplified. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, Brother Mike, I disagree with you. That doesn't cause me 1 ounce of sweat. I will sit down and let you explain your position to me. If I'm wrong, I'll correct it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a good attitude. That's the best attitude you can have, unless you're your own God. But I'm not my own God. There's not a week that goes by that I don't pray, God, teach me something. God, help me. God, I'd like to find a preacher this week that just says something I never heard before. Teach me something. Show me something. Correct me. If that's what I need, correct me. Well, you say why? Because I don't want to get blown off course. If I'm already off course, I want Jesus to come my way. I don't know if you know it or not, but I really want to make the point that that boat wasn't just going from point A to point B in the rocky rolling waves. When a storm comes up like that in a little bitty boat like that, it gets blown off course. And they weren't heading in the right direction. They weren't and you know what that means, though? It's a wonderful picture of God's willingness to help us out. Jesus was heading to the same place they were. He had to go off course to come get them. Yep. And I'm thankful to have a God that'll walk the long way around to pick me up.
Amen.
Amen. Just think about that a little bit. Now, I don't know how far you are blown off, of course, but I know this. I'll bet you dimes to donuts the Lord walking by your way on a regular basis.
Sure.
This is the way we're going.
Amen.
This is the way we're going over here.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's a good God that'll do that.
Yes, sir.
That's a long-suffering God. Talk about a God coming by your way to find you and to help you. The Bible said he'll do that for us. The Bible said he'll leave 99 and go find one. That's wonderful. I don't know that that makes people excited anymore because they never figured that they're the one that needs finding. And that's a good indication that you are the one that needs finding. Hey, if you're sitting here this morning listening to a message like this and you're thinking, what's that got to do with me? He could have found a better message to preach than this morning. I'm preaching to you. You're the one.
Yes, sir.
You are the one. If I knew your name, I'd call it out, but I don't know your name. God might tell me in a minute.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. I know this about you because I know it about me. I know it's true about you because it's true about me. I wish that you as Christians, really, we're talking about Christians being in the church and traveling to the other side and Jesus having to come rescue you. But I wish that each and every Christian that claimed to be a Christian, thought of themselves as good Christians, I wish you would just remember. You might have known it already. If so, remember it. If not, I wish you would come to the realization that every one of these people, some of them you think you're better than, they're just like you. You're just like them. You thinking God is so good to you and praying that God would knock a knot on their head is really self-destructive thinking, because with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. That's what the Bible means when it says, judge not lest you be judged. Hey, before I pray and say, God, won't you correct that brother? I'd be praying, God, correct me and help me and God, show me. Amen. I've never had a disagreement with a Christian brother ever in my life that I didn't go home and say, it's possibly me.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't have a 9,000 horsepower engine or global positioning. I'd be blown off course just as easy as you. And I can be just as proud as you. And I can be just as self-willed as you. The only question is, when will you admit that about yourself? And I promise you admit that about yourself, you'll find, you'll look at the map and find where you're off. If you just allow just a little bit of time, say, Lord, it may be that I've missed your will someplace. It may be that I've been blown off course just a little bit. Start looking at the map. Oh, yeah. I need to adjust myself 3 degrees. Amen. Amen. But I've seen it in preachers get started preaching, start worrying about, I've got to correct them charismatics. And get blown off course. Spend 10 years studying the charismatic movement. You're off course. You're off course. Study the truth. It's the truth that makes you free. I'm not against you understanding. I'm not against you having a working knowledge about some heresy or something like that. No problem with that at all. But that's not the course. You say, what's the course to get to the other side? My course is heaven, Brother David. That's my course. That's my aim. That's my goal. Amen. And not only that, if I don't die in this life, the Lord's going to pick me up on the way. I'm not going to get there on my own. I'm not going to get there on my own. This is a perfect picture of God leaving the church, going up into a high mountain to pray. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Bible says that those disciples were out there in the sea being tossed back and forth with winds and waves, and just like you are. Just like, so I think maybe some people pretend that everything's rosy so they don't have to deal with reality. But at some point in time, the load gets too heavy. And many times, instead of getting things right, Christians will double down and justify themselves and go even deeper into the storm. And if they do see some supernatural event, I don't know if you know it or not, but walking on the water is supernatural. It's so supernatural that they said, it's a ghost. That's what they said. And Jesus said, it's just me. Ain't that enough? Ain't that enough? God, I got to have $500,000 this week. And Jesus walked up beside you and said, it's just me. It's not the $500,000 you were looking for, but it's just me. That's the answer. It's not time to balk or double down. It's time to say, get in the boat.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you this. This mind has wandered and these feet have walked astray. But when Jesus walks up beside my boat and says, hey, I'm here to help you with that problem, it's not for me to say, let me get out and walk with you. No, sir. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Listen, when Simon Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water, the winds were still blowing and the waves were still rolling. But when he got in the boat, the storm laid down. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Some of you content to ride out the storm when you could just get Jesus back in your boat,
yes,
and some of that stuff would calm down. I'm not saying all your troubles would cease to exist. I'm not saying there'd never be any more storms in your life. There are clear accounts in your Bible of Jesus being in the storm while at the same time he was in the boat.
Amen. Yeah.
But that's not this event right here. In this event, he's out of the boat. There's a storm raging. When he gets in the boat, the storm is over. And you know good and well who I'm talking to. Jesus is not in your boat. You're trying to do this church thing by yourself. You're trying to do this Christian life by yourself. You're trying to operate under your own principles. And you're going to have storm after storm and wave after wave. The waves are going to keep coming. And listen, they'll pound you till they break you if they have to. Just get Jesus back in the boat. And I know this is especially true for those of us who like to pray and ask God to help us until he helps us, and then we go and do our own thing. You say, well, what's the deal with that? These storms continue to come, and these things continue to break up your life. Because you fooled yourself into thinking Jesus was in your boat and he's not. That's true. That's true. Amen? Absolutely. He says, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. It's a wonderful place to be in the ship. The multitudes are not in the ship. This vast world that most of us envy, that most of us want to copy, that most of us want to emulate, that most of us want to get favor from, that we want to be accepted by. Have you ever noticed when something bad happens, a preacher will say, this is because we need to turn back to God. And the news media will say, here they are bringing God into it. The next day they'll be on TV apologizing. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Well, that's a Christian who's pretending that God's in their boat and that they're speaking for God, but when the world speaks against them, they have to clarify. They have to apologize because they've just fooled themselves into thinking that they're doing God's service, and they're not. And you say, well, that's just those TV preachers. No, there's plenty of people sitting in here just like that. Just like that. They say, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to go with God. Just as soon as you get next to a friend out there in the world, and he starts talking about something that you know you ought not be doing as a Christian, you begin to close your mouth. You begin to step back in shame. You begin to, well, I don't want to be a fanatic and I don't want to hurt my friend. And you're just making excuses. But I'm not preaching against that. I'm just telling you that that is the reason why when you wake up tomorrow, you're full of grief. And you wake up the day after that, the storms, and you don't get any victories in your life over those storms and over those temptations and over those trials. It's because you and Jesus not really sailing in the same ship. You've been blown off course. You say, well, what is the solution? Well, I wish I could give you a simple solution. But it's time that we realize, and I'm not saying this, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Coming down to the altar for 3 minutes after you hear a good sermon and praying a little prayer, you're beyond that. And I believe in it. Don't get me wrong. I believe a good sermon, good singing, come to the altar, pray a little bit. I'm all for that. But listen, it's time you were introduced to the true fact that you're going to have to get with God and pray long hours and reason with God and let God explain to you what's wrong in your head, what's wrong in your heart. You're going to have to spend some time with God, make sure things are right between you and God, because the Bible says that if we walk in darkness, he said, there's no fellowship there. John chapter of the epistle of John chapter number 1. Amen. He says, if we walk in darkness, he said, there's no light in that. There's no fellowship in that. He said, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And I would like to tell you that there was an easy 5-minute fix, but you're going to have to get your Bible. You're going to have to get on your knees. You're going to have to go before the throne room of God. It might take you 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. I can tell you how many times, Brother Tommy, that I've known something's wrong in my life. It's in my head. It's in my heart. It's my heart is set on doing things I ought not do. As a preacher? Absolutely. As a preacher. And I'll go to the altar and say, God, I'm going to get this right. Shed a few tears. Next day, same old me. And sometimes it takes 3 or 4 weeks to work that mess out. You didn't jump into it in 5 minutes. You walked into it by degrees, and many times you're going to have to get out of it by degrees. Amen. That's good for you. Yep. But the simple part is this, God, get in the boat and help me. Listen, you have to be honest. I've said this before, and I'll say it 500,000 more times. You're going to have to be honest enough that when you hear something that's right and something that's true and something that's against you, you're going to have to be honest with God first and say, God, I don't want to get that right. It's not that in my spirit I don't want to get it right. It's my flesh. My flesh desires these things. This thing that blowed me off course, I desire it. I want it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't be fooling with it in the first place. Amen. But God, if you'll help me get it right, I will get it right. And sometimes that process has taken a year. Sometimes that process of taking a week. Sometimes that process of taking 6 months. I don't know what it'll be for you. Maybe you're stronger than me. Maybe you have more character than I have. But I know this. It'll start with saying, Jesus, I need you to get in here and help me with this. I can't get to the other side by myself, but I like what the Bible says. I do like what the Bible says. The Bible says as soon as he got in the boat. Now, you can also read this passage in Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6. Coincidence, probably. But in some of these passages, it says as soon as Jesus got in the boat, they were at the other side. That's a great possibility. But it's also a possibility that you're going to have to spend some time. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Christians spent as much time trying to get things back on course as they did Facebook or Netflix? And again, I'm not trying to ridicule you over these things. I'm just saying, you know every first baseman in the National League. You didn't learn that overnight. You learned that by long familiarization with those things. Well, what makes you think it's not going to take a long familiarization with God's word, with God's principles, with God's precepts, with God's book as a whole, in order to get some of the kinks worked out of your own head? It's to your benefit that you get back on course. It could be to your wife's benefit, to your husband's benefit, to your children's benefit, to your workmates' benefit, to your preacher's benefit. It could benefit a lot of people for you to get on course for God.
Amen.
But this morning, I'm here just to appeal to you. It'd be for your benefit. It'll benefit you. It'll benefit you. Amen? And God is such a wonderful God that he died on the cross for your benefit. To get you on course as a man. Once you're on course as a man, God will do his best to keep you on course. The Bible says, in my interpretation, but I believe it with all my heart, God says that he'll go above and beyond to keep you on course. I know that to be true because the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. He says God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. It's those temptations that blow you off course. He said, but he will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
There is a way. Do you want to avail yourself of it? Or do you want to take advantage of it? That's a question only you can answer, and God is the only one you can deal with over it. Oh, preacher, I don't believe the way you believe. It's not me that you have to deal with, that you have to reckon with, but God Almighty himself. But keep in mind, it's that same God that'll walk out there on those waves and come by where you are. Though you be blown off course, go out of his way. He's heading to the other side as well. But he'll come by where you're at, guide you back on course. He's done that for me 10 million times. We serve a faithful God, Brother Mike. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and grace. Help us this morning, I pray. I pray, oh God, you'd have your will and way in our lives. I pray, oh God, most of all, you'd have your will and way in my life. Help me, oh God, to gather myself up and to follow you. And I'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray.